everyone at FaithWorks, whether you're here with us, and the crowd's a little smaller than last week, but I guess everybody's wondering what's happening and where it's all going, and things are changing by the minute, obviously. We were hoping next week to have church in some sort of regular formalities again, but now that's all been held back, so there's another two or three weeks of low numbers and doing whatever. So I'd encourage everybody to keep in touch with people. If you haven't been to church for a while and you're out there listening to the program or listening to the podcast, fellowship's always good. If you can, even if you're talking on a phone or even if you're relating to somebody somewhere, make a point of talking to somebody if you can this week. Just let God put someone on your heart and don't just say, oh, gee, I wonder how they're going, because we often do that. Maybe it's God prompting us to make a phone call. Maybe it's God prompting us to pray for them. Maybe it's God prompting us to instigate a little bit of fellowship or invite them over, because you can still have five people in your home. So let's be a little bit proactive in that area, everyone. And, you know, we really miss people. We really miss seeing them and talking to them and sharing with them and hearing what God's doing. And so it would be great to have that opportunity for a little bit of interaction and fellowship if we possibly can. So I'd like to pray for everyone today. I know people have done it hard and some are in difficult situations. And I know the Bible says when one member suffer, we all suffer. But I don't think we've taken that far enough, because Jesus, it tells us, was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And I really believe we need to be like Christ in that area. And where people are struggling with maybe being isolated or away from fellowship or unable to do certain things in a natural sense to what we've been used to for so many years, some of us don't quite relate to that and relate to the impact that it's having on so many people. So I really want to uphold you all before God in prayer right now. I really believe it's time that was taken to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Amen? So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you are who you are, a great, good, loving, caring Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he came and expressly showed us that the Father's love was there for us. He was full of grace and truth, and he showed us the way to God. So we thank you for that. We thank you for that great gift of your Son, Jesus. But today, Lord God, we're praying for your body here around this region, those that we're in fellowship with, those that we've had so much interaction with, those that we love that we haven't had intimate or close relationships with over the past little while, because of this situation in our land. So, Father, I lift them all up before you now in the name of Jesus, every man. And the names are just spinning through my head, Lord God, but without naming them, you know every man that has been in fellowship with us in this place and how we're separated, but, Father God, only by distance, not in spirit. And so I lift them up before you now, Lord God. Whatever their situation and need is, in the name of Jesus, I present them before you at your throne of grace. And I pray, Lord God, for your ministering angels to work on their behalf, as your word has said, sent forth to be ministers to those who are the heirs of salvation. And because they are the heirs of salvation right now, in the name of Jesus, we send your life, your spirit, your heart into that situation to meet them where they're at, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For every woman, the exact same need, which will be different for women as it is for men at different times. But Lord God, you know their hearts. You know their feelings. You know their struggles. You know their difficulties. You know their downsittings and their uprising. And you understand. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak life into every woman that has fellowshiped in this church and is in contact with us or in fellowship with us through this place. In the name of Jesus, we release your life into their lives now, and we speak your peace, your love, your joy, your restoration, your healing, your health, your wholeness into every family and every mom and dad and every man and woman and every child. In the name of Jesus, we miss those kids running around. We miss their joy. We miss their exuberance. We miss their noise even. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift them before you now. We pray your comfort and your arms surround them. We pray, Lord God, their relationship with you is strengthened during this time. We pray for wisdom for parents to give them guidance and to give them understanding in the things of God at this time, that their faith would grow stronger in you. And whatever goes on in this world, Lord God, let it go on. But we are dependent not on that, but on you. You're our God. You're our source. You're our strength. You're our healer. You're our sustenance. You're our deliverer. You're our healer. You're the restorer of all life in mankind. And so today, Father God, we believe for your power, your life, and your hand is at work with every person in this place. And we thank you for it. Wherever you are in your homes, receive it now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive that life now. Receive that healing. Receive that restoration. Receive that peace. Receive it and say, God, this is my need. I receive the answer in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a great song right here now that I love so much. This is Amazing Grace.
Of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my
is why we worship all that you've done.
Such amazing grace. Such unfailing love. You can't sing that song without recognizing the amazing work of Calvary and what Jesus did. Can we get a microphone for Dave? And this is a time, and I spoke last week of how taking the Lord's table is a covenant meal. And it's an incredible covenant meal. And doing this in living in and living out this new covenant is how we show the Lord's death till he comes. I'm going to ask Dave to lead us around the Lord's table now so we can take communion here. And you that are listening on the podcast, please get your communion elements ready so that you're able to share with us wherever you are and in your home and with your families to be part of this amazing covenant meal together. Amen.
So we come together today, you know, it is an amazing day. It's a day when we come and we would expect to have a church full, and we've got a church almost empty. So what would we say? Would we say, well, we're coming to an empty church. We're coming to a church where God is. We never, ever go anywhere to an empty place when we're with God. When we give our lives to him, that is it. And what this whole situation is, what we're showing today, is that he's here, that he died for us, that he died for us on the cross. And, you know, the death he took, the path he took was an extreme one. He's the only person that could have done it. And he was chosen to do it in sorrow and devastation. You know, everything came against him. And the thing was, at any time, he could have put his hand up and stopped. And as I like to think, any time he could have vaporized everybody around, you know. Amazing. His power. In his anointing, the Son of God, and I hate to think of some of the things he went through. But do you realize that extreme price he paid gave an extreme result? And, you know, it quotes it a bit sometimes, you know, like a baby, like childbirth, you know. Nobody, when somebody's halfway through it, they'd like to give up. They'd like to say, this is all too hard for me, you know. And afterwards, do they talk about it? They say, oh, what a shocking time I had. They say, look at my fantastic little son or daughter. And that's all you see afterwards. You see the joy. You have the joy of what it's achieved. And that's what we've achieved, what Jesus Christ achieved. Something so he can be in constant contact with each of us. And that is the amazing thing. So we are never, ever alone. He is always on our side, and he's always there to support us. So when we come to him, what do we expect? Do we expect, it says, you know, about these rivers of living water, do we expect to dribble? Do we expect to dribble out of a tap? Do we expect a problem turning the tap on? Or do we expect rivers of living water? And, you know, when we come before him, it should be expecting an encounter with our God, you know, to come to him. And this is a time when we can have an encounter with our God. This is a time when we come around the table and we say, Jesus, 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 you're real to me. Jesus, Jesus, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And no matter how many there are here, it doesn't make any difference. I don't need a stadium full of people. Even if I'm on my own, I can say the same thing. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and my God, and you are there. And I think most of all, you are on my side. And do you understand that? Do you understand that? When nobody understands you, he understands you. So many times in life, you know, nobody understands that your actions, you know, and you're devastated because it's turned out the wrong way. It's all fallen upside down. And yet he does. He does. And you think about Peter, how devastated he was when he said to Jesus, you know, I will never, ever betray you. And he did. Three times. And when he came back to Jesus, he would be totally devastated. And what happened? He was faced with love and understanding. And this is the amazing thing about the whole thing, about our God. He understands. So what are you expecting? An encounter. An encounter, a close relationship with your God, a continual close relation with your God. And Paul says to come here. And in Corinthians it said the cup is what? It is the new agreement with God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink it, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again, that he died for us and he now lives for us. He now lives for us. It's not a dead Christ, it's an alive Christ. It's a Christ who is available, a Christ who's there to minister to us. Jesus, there to minister to us. So, as we take... Yeah, okay. When I manage to get into this package, we'll proceed. Okay, let's take together now, representing the body of our Lord which was broken for us, and remember that supreme sacrifice that was given, that we would be in this amazing position with our God, this price that was paid, that purchased a life for each one of us. So let's take it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. This cup representing the blood that was poured out on Calvary for us. The blood, the price that was paid for this life which we can rejoice in now. So let's take and drink it in Jesus' name. Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we're going to remember you. You're going to remember you, Lord. How mighty you are, how loving you are, how understanding you are. And we're going to come to you, Lord, on a constant basis and remember this, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because you're not a negative God, you're a positive God. We thank you, Lord, that your love is a love beyond understanding, beyond human love, and beyond human understanding. But, oh Lord Jesus, just let us understand. Let us understand your great love, that you gave your life that we might have life, that you died that many, many may live, and we are some of those many that live because we've come to you. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And, oh, Lord, just let us keep our eyes open on you these days. Keep our eyes open away from circumstances, away from those negative things which would pull us down. And just let us rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in your mighty presence and your mighty understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dave, such an amazing promise we have in God, isn't it, eh? You know, it's just incredible how Dave brought out that we're in this new agreement, or this new covenant, or this new era that we're in. We're actually living under the conditions of that covenant. We're living under the conditions of that agreement. We're living under the conditions of that New Testament. It's the New Testament, it's really the New Covenant, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And it's quite incredible. Just talking to Lexi during the week and brought up our niece in Sunbury, and Lex said, I often had to talk to her when we were out at nights, and she said, oh, God would never want me considering the things that I've done. Not realizing that Jesus didn't come to seek the righteous, but to bring sinners to repentance, amen? Just the type of person that she was. And a lot of people don't understand the goodness of God and the greatness and the love of God in that. The whole of the New Testament, the gospel was that unrighteousness could be made righteous. People that were unrighteous would be made righteous. It wasn't about God loves you and God's got a future for you and God's got a plan for you and a destiny for you. No, you are unrighteous and you will be made righteous. You will have right standing with God. That's the whole principle of salvation and the new covenant. Having righteousness is incredible because it gives us the ability to come before God unashamed, unhindered, unabated, and he accepts us. I love that. He receives us. We come boldly because he's given us righteousness. We can come before him and say, Lord, I need you. And we come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Now, that's an amazing privilege that we have in God. It's an amazing state to be in. It's an amazing opportunity for us to come before God and present our needs and our wants and our petitions before him. And it really is a responsibility on our behalf to do that in a biblical pattern, in a biblical method. So we don't come willy-nilly, we don't come blasé, we don't come disrespectfully, but we can come knowing the provision of God is there to meet those needs. Don't go asking God for things that you know he's never made provision to meet your needs. Lord, send a bucket of gold out of heaven and I'll be rich for the rest. No, that's not the way God meets our needs. God provides our needs that are required at the time. We don't come and ask for stupid things, or we don't come and ask for things that are beyond the realms of God's word and God's provision. So we take the word of God and we use what God's provided for us to come before him with. And it's quite amazing how in the book of Hebrews, I love this here. When we have been made righteous, we're able to come before him. In Hebrews 4, 12 to 16, the scriptures said this, the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we can't get away from nothing. We're laid bare before God, and he knows our heart. And that's part and parcel of coming before him in humility and knowing the word of God and what God has made available to us. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him that we are coming to, the one that we're dealing with. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who's Jesus, the Son of God, let us maintain and hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses or who is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love what it says there, that we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, or in King James, we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And so when someone is touched by someone else's life, they've generally had that experience themselves. They've had that feeling themselves. They've walked a similar pathway. And God did more than walk a mile in our shoes when Jesus came. He took on the weakness of humanity totally and experienced it himself. And so our high priest is touched and relates to and identifies with and has felt. He has experienced the traumas, the attacks, the pressures, and the frailty of all of human life. And he knows every facet of it. And that's why he's a qualified high priest who intercedes on our behalf. I get blown away when I think of that, that the very Son of God who took on the form of a human being and then died on the cross and rose again stands there as our advocate before the Father in heaven. Think about that. A person who has walked in our shoes is our great high priest advocate at the throne of grace. No wonder we can find help in time of need. That is so amazing. And he is there for us. God is on our side. That's the new agreement. God, that's what we're living under. That's what we're part and of and recipients of. This new covenant is not some great, you know, traumatic have to do thing like the old covenant was. It is a covenant of mercy and grace that we come to the throne and find help in time of need because of what he did for us. It's just too much to comprehend in some ways. Our human brains fall apart. He is on our side is what it means in its simplest form that I can put it in. We've got a God who's on our side and waiting to work on our behalf. You know, prior to these verses here, the earlier part of that chapter deals about the rest. And then talks about a rest that the Old Covenant, Old Testament people could have had they followed God completely when they took him out of slavery in Egypt through the promised land through the wilderness and into the promised land. There was to be a land of flowing with milk and honey, a land of provision, a land of life, and a land where rest was trusting in God, letting God be who he was meant to be in their lives. But because of disobedience, those verses tells us, they could not enter into that rest. They were always fighting one of the ites, the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and all those ites were, there were things that stopped them from entering into rest because they did not walk in faith and obedience. It was disobedience that kept them away from the rest of God. And you know something? The Bible tells us there remains a rest for the people of God. Now, it's not a setback laziness and do nothing, you know, like we have in our natural physical rests that we have to have because we get exhausted, so we recuperate. But a spiritual rest is in God 24/7. It takes away the stress and the trauma and the anxiety and the worry and the fretting of life that can just put pressure on us if we're not walking with God. And if we let our faith guard down, if we let ourselves look at the circumstances and be like Peter, who was walking on the water at the command of Jesus, suddenly looked at the water and the turmoil and the wind and the wave and took his eyes off God, the situation swallowed him up. And thank God Jesus was there to lift him out of that. But that's the same with us. We get our eyes off Jesus. We've taken ourselves out of rest. We've taken ourselves out of a faith capacity to trust him, to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And we lose the ability to walk in the rest that's been provided for us. That capacity is available for us to live in constantly 24/7 based on faith. Full endurance of faith is not stressful, but restful. Think about that. Full endurance of faith is not stressful. It's not an endurance like a challenge or something we're into that we've got to endure and endure and endure and hopefully we're going to make it. No, our full endurance of faith is to be at rest. Is to be at rest. That's how faith endures. If you're not at rest, get your faith endurance back into the rest mode. Get your faith endurance back into the rest mode. Amen? And the good thing about that rest and our righteousness in God, He takes our wrongfulness, our guilt, our sinfulness, our shortcomings, our inadequacies, our failures, our lack, and all human tendencies of ungodliness. He erases it completely and declares you and I in right standing, made righteous by the blood of Christ and able then to enter that rest. If we begin to get traumatized by things in our past and things that we've done or things that we're doing that may not be or aren't pleasing to God, and the devil will use those things to take away our peace and to take away our rest, we need to bring ourselves back into the fact that we are standing before God in righteousness with every right to have the peace of God ruling in our heart and remaining as what the Bible says, there remains a rest for the people of God. And he that has entered his rest, the Bible says, is he that has ceased from his own works. Our own tryings, our own doings, our own frettings, our own anxieties, our own worries, and everything that we think we've got to do to make a situation right, and we get into a tizz over it all. No, the Bible says, if you enter your rest, you are just as Jesus, as God was in the beginning, ceased from your own capacities to work. Settle down. Let it happen. It's all done. It's in the hands of God. Get your hands off it. Get your mind off it. Get your thinking off it. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Woohoo! There's a minute we get that part of our faculty in order and in line with God and God's word and what God's done for us, the rest is inevitable. That's a two-way thing. The rest is inevitable. The rest of God is also inevitable. Amen? We have been declared right before God. A job and a work done through the blood of the Lamb. We are walking in and under a realm and a release of the new covenant and the new agreement. Take the communion. Show the Lord's death, not just in taking the communion, but in the fact that we're walking in rest. I'm walking in a new covenant. I'm showing the Lord's death. I'm showing what He's done for me and all that I am, all that I say, and all that I do, everywhere I go. I'm a living epistle known and read of all men, declaring and showing the Lord's death in my life, being active because I'm under a new covenant agreement. Aren't you worried about what's going on in the world? Nope. The world's not my source. God is. Aren't you worried about getting sick? Nope. God's my healer. Aren't you worried about this? Aren't you worried? No. That's a waste of a worry. If you're a child of God, you're at rest in Jesus' name. Can we sing that song? Are you ready for that? Go for it. I'm going to ask Kerry to lead us now. I live my life in remembrance. Remembrance of what God's done. Remembrance of what God, of who God is. Remembrance of a life that God's made available to us for me to walk in by faith, be at peace, and be at rest. Amen.
I take the bread of life, broken for all my sin, your body crucified to make trade this sinner's end for your new covenant. Hallelujah.
I love the words of that song where it says, if ever I should lose my way, remind me of the price you paid. And we need to bring that back to remembrance constantly. That because of the price Jesus paid, because of the release of this cup, of a new agreement, of a new covenant, of a new way of living, of a new relationship with God that we are subject to and walking in and under. Let it permeate our thinking. Let it permeate our hearts to recognize that God did that for us. He did it, amen? And we're free to walk in it and walk in the rest. It's funny, walk in rest. Walking is a job we do, but when we walk in rest, the walking is easy. The walking is a joy. The walking is just a part and parcel of our expression of faith in God. Amen? But bless you so much. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that amazing song. I pray, Lord, for your peace and rest to permeate every life that is listening and hearing this word today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you all.